Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today's known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, our gospel text is a portion of John chapter 10, which is known as the Good Shepherd chapter. Scripture figuratively refers to God's people as sheep, and it's not a very enduring term. While it is the nature of sheep to be gentle and submissive, they're also vulnerable and defenseless to predators. Sheep have no sense of direction. Where one goes, the others will just blindly follow, and they're very dependent upon the shepherd. So too, you and I are nothing but sheep. Like sheep, we have all gone astray. You wander away from God and go off on your own way. You don't keep his commandments and abide in him as you ought. You daily sin much and deserve nothing but eternal punishment. You and I are in desperate need of a Savior. We need a good shepherd who will protect us from the dangers prowling around in this darkened world. And not only that, we need a shepherd to protect ourselves from ourselves and keep us pointed in the right direction, leading to green pastures and beside still waters, rescuing from sin, death, and the grave. In our gospel text, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." The words "I am" is the personal name that God called himself to Moses out of the burning bush in the wilderness. And the Jewish people of Jesus' day knew this. They knew that The Jewish people in Jesus' day knew that God called himself "I am" to Moses. So they know that Jesus isn't just merely speaking of some metaphorical good shepherd, but he's saying that he is God. He is Yahweh. I am that I am, the one true and authentic shepherd of whom scriptures have foretold. He is the one and only good shepherd, except no substitutes. And when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep," he's revealing his divine identity as God in the flesh of man, who has entered his creation to save mankind from their sins. And the good news is, Jesus just doesn't talk the talk. He walks the walk. As you just sang in our sermon hymn, "The King of Love, your shepherd is." Because it took much more than three long nails to hold Jesus to Calvary's cross. Most of all, it took love. Love for you and all mankind. God shows his love for you that while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. And Jesus himself says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." So when you think about a shepherd back in Israel in those days, an ordinary shepherd might die in defense of his flock. But if he does that, that's not going to do the rest of the flock any good. Because once he's dead, the rest of the flock is left vulnerable and helpless prey. Your good shepherd, however, he became a sheep on your behalf. For he is the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world by laying down his life for you as the once-for-all blood sacrifice offering for his sheep on the altar of the cross. Every other sheep that died in history died a sacrificial death in history. They had no choice in the matter. And those sheep were never heard from again. Yet your good shepherd not only willingly laid down his life as the perfect and complete blood sacrifice paying the wages of sin for all mankind, he takes up his life again in his resurrection, raising from the dead, assuring you that God has approved of his sacrificial atoning death, and is also the promise of your resurrection on the last day. So you, brothers and sisters in Christ, you all became members of God's one true flock under this one good shepherd, either in your baptism or in the preaching of the gospel. The good shepherd knows you. You are marked with his name. He knows you and you know him, just as the Father knows him and he knows the Father. This Father, God, is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. So as I said in last week's sermon, greater love has no one than this. It's a self-sacrificial love. Love that's put into action to take care of your greatest need, to make peace between you and God the Father. Making peace by keeping his commandments perfectly, abiding in the Father perfectly, and being the perfect sacrificial atonement. And not only for your sins, but for the sins of the whole world. It's something that you and I cannot do if we tried for a million years. So greater love has no one than this, that Jesus would lay his life down for you. Through his death and resurrection, he has forgiven you of all your sins of going astray from the good shepherd, your sins of not keeping his commands and not abiding in his love as you ought. He has not only forgiven you of your sins, he has swallowed up death forever. And yet, just as death can no longer harm Christ, it can no longer permanently harm you. Because in baptism, God has transferred to you all the benefits that Christ won for you on the cross. Through your Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, he has given you the victory over sin, death, and the grave. And even though you daily walk in the valley of the shadow of death, you have nothing at all to fear, because your Good Shepherd has already gone through death, through the grave, and he leads you through this life and death unto life everlasting. To everyone who hears Jesus' word and believes in the one whom has sent him, he does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And just as sure as Christ has been raised from the dead, on the last day at his return, he will raise up your mortal body from the grave to put on immortality in eternity. So Jesus not only talks the talk, he walks the walk. And in our epistle lesson, St. John exhorts you, dear baptized believers, to respond to the love which Christ has loved you, by doing likewise for your brothers and sisters in Christ. John writes, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." Now, of course, we know that you are saved by grace alone through faith. You receive your forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation, nothing on your part, but all on account of Christ's work of salvation. It's a God-given gift. But once we've received that gift, many times we become complacent. Complacent sheep. Sure, we like to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, but we don't necessarily enjoy responding appropriately and living as sheep of the flock. So Jesus walks the walk. We talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. And actions speak louder than words. And lip service is not love. We don't practice acts of love and righteousness toward our brothers and sisters in Christ as we ought. And I'm not just pointing the finger at you, I'm guilty as well. And not only that, sometimes I don't properly encourage you and exhort you. I don't properly proclaim the whole counsel of God's word to the believer's proper response to God's love. Sure, it's easy to preach the law telling you that you're a sinner and you deserve God's wrath because you don't measure up to God's commands. And then rub a little salve on, preach the gospel, saying that the good shepherd laid down his life for you and he forgives you your sins anyway. Amen. And send you on your way. But that's skipping biblical exhortation. That is skipping the biblical encouragement that our Lord desires that you fellow believers live lives worthy of being Christian, worthy of being Christian, bearing the Christian name. That is in performing good works and deeds and acts of righteousness, which God has prepared in advance so that you would walk in them. So we always talk about loving our neighbors as ourselves, but talk's cheap. Lip service doesn't provide food or warm clothing. And unless your talk is backed up by real deeds, by acts which provide assistance that your brother needs, well, all that talk of loving your neighbor is nothing more than hypocrisy. So what does it mean to love? To love your neighbor? Well, it's to imitate Christ. Because the sinless shepherd laid down his life to save you from sin, death, and the grave, you ought to, as John said in his epistle, you ought to lovingly respond by laying down your lives for your brothers and sister believers. Concordia commentary author Bruce Sugard, he writes in his commentary, characteristically, the words "we ought to," as in verse 16 of our epistle text, "we ought to" has for John to do with an obligation based on the example of Jesus. Therefore, that we are in fellowship with him means that we are like him. That we are like him means that as he gave himself for us, so we give of ourselves for one another, living and loving in the imprint of his grace. Fellowship with him means Christ-like foot service in fellowship with one another. Well, of course, thankfully, not many of us are called to literally lay down our lives in some deed of heroism. But each of us has daily opportunities to share physical assistance, share possessions with those in need, not to mention sharing the life-saving message of your good shepherd. And you can't do it on your own. We know that. But in holy baptism, you were made a new creation in Christ. You were regenerated and renewed by the Holy Spirit. And in that gift of the Holy Spirit and the love of God that Christ has won for you, you know love. So now you are enabled to share that love with others. That self-sacrificial kind of love that lays down its life for your brothers. Now, it's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It is walking the walk, aligning your actions and your life by loving others in deed and in truth. That's what Jesus did when he laid down his life for you. So in turn, that's what you and I Christians ought to do in response to the love of him who first loved us. We lay down our lives for our brothers in deed and in truth. So what does that look like in real life? Well, the love that lays down its life happens to be like when you see a brother or sister in need. Whatever need they have, you assist them in whatever way you can. You put your love into action. Christ-like love takes the initiative, physically in labor, financially in dollars, materially in goods, loving others abundantly with the abundant gifts that God has given you. It might be helping your own brothers and sisters in Christ in this very congregation, or it might be sending your dollars far across to the other side of the world to assist fellow Christians in places where poverty and persecution have already taken their toll. But in our epistle, John is giving us a template for Christian living. Can you and I live this way perfectly? Well, of course not. We can't. We're not up to the task because we are sinners. But that doesn't mean that you and I should not try, because it is God's good and holy will for your life. John sums it up like this in our text. He says, "And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." So first thing John says is, believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Believe in that name that you were marked with in holy baptism, the name of Christ, the object of your faith. The name is Jesus. As you heard in our first reading, salvation is found in no other name. It is only by Jesus that you are saved. Regenerated by the Holy Spirit, you are then enabled to believe in the name of Jesus, the name which not only describes who he is as Savior, but also stands for his character and authority. Secondly, John urges you, secondly, the Holy Spirit enables you to love one another. The love others with the love in which you lay down your life for and serve your brother. It's love that you put into action for the service of others, to serve your neighbor. Believe in Christ, love your neighbor, and that's it. The Christian life in a nutshell. And God enables you and strengthens you to do all this so that you live in this kind of love. And he does it in this place through word and sacrament. He gives you his words to say. He strengthens you with his sacrament. He equips you and strengthens your faith in his absolution as he forgives you of all your sins of not serving your neighbor. He equips you in the hearing of the gospel message of the good Savior who laid down his life on your behalf. He enables you and strengthens you in the eating and drinking of his body and blood given and shed for you on the altar of Calvary's cross. Brothers and sisters in Christ, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.